Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So throughout the course of this series, I've started out by saying how many times I feel like my life looks a little bit more like that of Jonah than maybe some other heroes of the faith that I would prefer for my life to look like. And so I've shared some personal stories with you along the way, and I'm going to share one more personal story with you this morning. So for those of you that don't know this already, my dad was a full-time pastor for the first several years of my life. And in fact, First Baptist Church Stockdale was the last church that my dad pastored full-time. And so after leaving Stockdale, we moved to Rockport. And maybe because we had already moved a few times in my life, even after moving to Rockport, I always just kind of had this sense that God was going to move us again. I was always ready to move. My parents knew this about me. And so at the end of my senior year of high school, before my freshman year in college, my dad was hired to teach French at a college in Oklahoma. And if I would attend that college, then I would get to attend for free. And so, yeah, praise God for that. And so this was my chance to finally move. This was my chance to follow through with what I had been saying for years, that whenever God said it was time, that I would go. But now that God was saying it was time, I began to resist. Because moving meant leaving behind my friends. Moving meant getting out of my comfort zone. Moving meant leaving the familiar and going into the unknown. And so I began to resist. So I think there really is a good reminder for us in this, that it's one thing to say we want to obey God. It's another thing to actually follow through and obey God. It's one thing to say, wherever He leads, I'll go. It's another thing to actually follow His lead and go. You see, it can be a lot easier to talk about obedience than to walk in obedience. But as we talked about when we looked at the book of James, God has not called us to simply talk the talk. God has called us to walk the walk as well, that we wouldn't just simply say we want to obey God, but that we would follow through with our lives and actually walk in obedience to Him. Now, by the grace of God and because of many hours of prayer by my parents, I finally stopped resisting and I moved with them to Oklahoma to attend college. And as I look back now, the Lord used my going. The Lord used my obedience to go up there, because it was really by going up there that God put my life on the trajectory, on the path that my life is on today. You see, it was during my freshman year of college, as I've shared before, that I was sitting in my mass communications class and I felt God calling me to ministry once again. And that's when I surrendered to the call. But not only that, it was after my sophomore year of college that I met my wife, Sarah. And around that same time, I met a good friend of mine that would ultimately be my connection to First Baptist Watauga, where I would begin in full-time ministry. God hadn't called me to stay in my comfort. God had called me to get up and go. And as I would learn, God had a purpose and a plan for my going. So this morning, we are wrapping up our series titled, Get Up, Go. And as we're wrapping this series up, we're going to look at the book of Jonah one last time. And as we do, let me remind you one last time of this overarching message that we see in the book of Jonah. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. God had called Jonah to go, but God didn't call Jonah to go without reason. God had a purpose and a plan for his going. God desired to bring Nineveh to repentance, and He desired to use Jonah's going and Jonah's preaching in the process. But really, God also had a plan to do a work in Jonah's heart as well. And we're going to see some of that work this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Jonah chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. In chapter 3, we see Jonah walk through Nineveh, and it's a 3 days walk through Nineveh. And as Jonah is walking through Nineveh over the course of these 3 days, Jonah is preaching. Now, Jonah is not preaching just a message that he felt like preaching. Jonah wasn't preaching a feel-good message. Jonah was preaching the message that God had given to him. In 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. And as the people of Nineveh heard this message proclaimed, we see that they turned from their sins, they humbled themselves before the Lord because they desired to be spared. But why did they repent? Why did they humble themselves? Because as we look at our world today, we know that the gospel is being proclaimed. We know that people are being warned of their sins, and yet there are so many that continue to reject God, and they continue to reject God's word. So why did Nineveh repent? Verse 5 of chapter 3 tells us, it says, "Then the people of Nineveh believed God." In other words, because of the message that Jonah was preaching, the people didn't just believe Jonah, they believed God, that they had sin in their lives. They believed God that their sin would ultimately lead to destruction, and they believed God that He was their only hope for redemption. And because they believed God, we see them repent. Another way of saying this would be to say that their belief was evidenced by their actions. They didn't just say that they believed God. We can look at how they responded to God, and we can fully understand that they believed God. So let me just pause right here and ask, do you believe God? Do you believe God? As you open God's word, as you allow God's word to speak into your life, and as you allow God's word to address sin in your life, do you believe God? And as you think about that question, let me give you another one. What do your actions reveal about your belief? Do your actions reveal that you believe what God says about sin in your life? Do your actions reveal that you believe God about what He says about the destruction of sin in your life? Do your actions reveal that you believe God, or do your actions reveal that you really don't believe God at all? What do your actions reveal about your belief? And my prayer is that we wouldn't just be a people who say that we believe God. My prayer is that we would be a people who, yes, we say we believe God, but then our belief is evidenced in all that we say and in all that we do. Nineveh believed God, and as a result, they responded to God with humility and repentance. And so as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to turn our attention back to Jonah, and we're going to see how Jonah responded to their repentance. So with that in mind, let's read Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, isn't this what I thought while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live.' The Lord asked, 'Is it right for you to be angry?' Jonah left the city and found a place east of it. He made himself a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted, and he wanted to die. He said, 'It's better for me to die than to live.' Then God asked Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' 'Yes, it's right,' he replied. 'I'm angry enough to die.' So the Lord said, you cared about the plant which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. But may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals? Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by looking at Jonah's immediate response in verse 1. It says, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry, or became furious. Now, this immediate anger is somewhat hard for us to fathom, because every week when we have people respond, whether people are responding for salvation, whether people are responding to recommit, rededicate their lives to Christ, whether people are responding for baptism or for membership, when people respond, we celebrate that response. We clap our hands, we shake their hands, we give them hugs, we celebrate their response. And let me just say, if you respond this morning, you will be met with celebration. You know, I don't know any pastor that would respond the way that Jonah did to this level of response, because, you know, really, this is the dream for a pastor. When we preach a message, our prayer is that even one person would respond. But as Jonah preached, Jonah didn't just see one person respond. Jonah saw the entire city of Nineveh come to repentance. But Jonah didn't celebrate. Jonah got angry. Let's not tell Jonah about the Billy Graham Crusades. I don't think he could handle it. But why was Jonah angry? Jonah knew how wicked Nineveh was, but not only that, Nineveh, the people in Nineveh, they were enemies to Judah and Israel. And so for God to send Jonah to Nineveh, for God to send Jonah to preach a message that would bring them to repentance, meant that yes, God cared for Israel, but God didn't only care for Israel. God wanted more to be saved. God's desire was for all people to turn from their sins and to come to know Him as Lord. God desired even their enemies to be spared from their sins as well. So let me pause right here and say this. God cares even for our enemies. Hear that again. God cares even for our enemies. Maybe there is a person or a group of people in your life that you would consider to be your enemies. Maybe there is a person that has made your life challenging, or a group of people that have made your life difficult. God cares even for them. God cares even for our enemies. And if that rubs you the wrong way, if you don't really like that, well, then you're in the same boat as Jonah, because Jonah didn't like that. Jonah didn't think it was fair for Nineveh to receive God's grace and compassion. Jonah wanted justice. And so Jonah finally reveals his heart in running. He fled. He tried to avoid going to Nineveh because he didn't want Nineveh to have the opportunity for repentance. He wanted God to bring destruction upon them. Jonah didn't think it was fair. But the truth is, Jonah was right. It wasn't fair for Nineveh to receive God's grace and compassion. But the reality was, it also wasn't fair for Jonah to receive God's grace and compassion either. While Jonah may not have been an enemy to Israel, Jonah was just as rebellious as Nineveh. Jonah had rejected God's call. Jonah had run from God's call. And yet God showed grace and compassion to Jonah. The only reason that Jonah was able to go and preach to Nineveh and see them repent was because Jonah himself had the opportunity to repent. Jonah received God's grace and compassion as well. It wasn't fair for Nineveh to receive grace and compassion, but it wasn't fair for Jonah to receive grace and compassion either. So let me pause right here and say this. When it comes to what we deserve, we don't want fair. We want forgiveness. We don't want fair. We want God's mercy. We want God's grace. We want God's compassion. When it comes to what we deserve, we don't want fair. We want forgiveness. You see, what we deserve for our sin is death. We deserve to pay for our sins because we have sinned against a holy God and an eternal God. But God, in His great love for us, sent Jesus into this world not to give us what we deserve, but to take what we deserve upon Himself. And so it's Jesus who went to the cross. It's Jesus who died for our sins, that we might be set free. And that's not fair. It's only by God's grace and compassion. So when it comes to what we deserve, we don't want fair, we want forgiveness. And just as God had shown Jonah grace and compassion that he might be forgiven, God showed grace and compassion to Nineveh as well. Jonah knew it was going to happen. Jonah tried to run so that it wouldn't happen, but after preaching, Jonah saw it happen. But instead of rejoicing in the Lord's grace and compassion, Jonah became furious. So let me encourage us this morning. Let's not be like Jonah. When God is at work, when God is moving, when God is doing something that clearly only He can do, let's not become so focused on ourselves or on our desires or on how we think God should do things that we completely miss the opportunity to celebrate the movement of His Spirit. Let's not have hearts of discontentment and hearts of anger at the work of God's hands. Instead, let's take our eyes off of ourselves and let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord, that we always have a heart of celebration. Let's not be like Jonah. So Jonah got angry, but now as we continue walking through this passage, we're going to see how God continues to work in the heart of Jonah. And so there are three things I want you to see this morning. The first thing I want you to see is that God questions Jonah. God questions Jonah. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "The Lord asked, 'Is it right for you to be angry?'" Now the answer to this question is an obvious one. It wasn't right for Jonah to be angry, but God didn't just tell him, "It's not right for you to be angry." Instead, God asks him a question. God likes to do that. We see that many times in Scripture, God asks questions. Many times in our lives, God might ask us a question because it's not because He doesn't know the answer, but because these questions so often reveal to us what's in our hearts. In other words, these questions cause us to look inwards. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they hid from God, what did God do? He asked them a question. "Where are you?" After Cain killed his brother Abel, what did God do? He asked a question, "Where is your brother?" Questions have this way of getting us to look inward, and they reveal the truth of what's in our hearts. And so with this simple question, God reveals to Jonah, He reminds Jonah of his place. He reminds Jonah of just how small Jonah is and just how big God is, because the truth is, Jonah didn't see as much as God. Jonah didn't know as much as God. Jonah didn't understand as much as God. And so while Jonah may not have even liked or even understood why God would spare their enemies, the truth is, it wasn't right for Jonah to be angry because God sees more, knows more, and understands more. And maybe that's a truth that you need to be reminded of today, that God sees more, knows more, and understands more, because I'm sure there are times in your life when things don't go the way that maybe you had hoped they would go. There are times that you've probably experienced where maybe God does something differently than maybe you would have wanted or maybe you would have expected. But what we know and what we see is finite. What God knows and what God sees is infinite. God sees more, knows more, and understands more. And so my encouragement to us and my encouragement to Jonah would have been, instead of getting angry at God, let's simply trust Him. He knows more, He sees more, and understands more, so let's trust Him. So God questions Jonah. The second thing I want you to see is that God provides for Jonah. Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, "Then the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head, to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was pleased with the plant." Now, before we get to this verse, we see that after being angry with God, Jonah gets up to go once again. This time, Jonah gets up to leave Nineveh. And as Jonah leaves Nineveh, we kind of have this idea, that Jonah probably still wants to see Nineveh mess up so that God would still bring destruction upon them. Because what we see is that Jonah goes a healthy distance away so that he will be protected, but he stays close enough so that he can see what will happen with the city. You know, in a way, we could say that Jonah left being engaged in the battle. Jonah left being engaged in the mission that God had called him to so that he could simply become a spectator. So let me just pause and ask us to look inward this morning, and let me ask this question. Are you engaged in the mission, or are you simply a spectator? Are you engaged in the mission that God has called us to as believers, to go and to make disciples? Or are you simply a spectator watching others do it? If you're a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, are you engaged in our mission to love, to grow, to serve, and to go? Or are you still sitting on the sidelines just watching what will happen? Are you engaged in the mission, or are you simply a spectator? So Jonah goes out to be a spectator, and we see in verse 6 that even though Jonah is wrongfully angry, and even though Jonah still has this desire to see Nineveh destroyed, God still provided this plant for Jonah to provide shade for him. I want you to understand, God's provision is not because of us. So often it is in spite of us. God's provision is not because of us. So often it is in spite of us. And let me just say, I am so thankful for that truth. Because as I think about what God has done over the last couple of years here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, certainly God has used our obedience as a church. God has used my obedience as your pastor. But as I look at my own life, I recognize I'm not a perfect person. As I look at my own life, I see my own shortcomings. I know my own flaws as a person and as a pastor. And so as I look at all of my shortcomings and all of my flaws, and as I look at your shortcomings and your flaws, right, as we look at that as a church, I recognize, man, God is moving not because of us. God is moving in spite of us. You see, if God moves because of us, then we get the glory. But when God moves in spite of us, God gets the glory. And so we have an opportunity to look at what God is doing and not to take glory, but to look at what God is doing and to keep our eyes focused on Him and to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving." And we give Him the glory. Because God's provision is not because of us. So often it is in spite of us. And while Jonah didn't want Nineveh to receive grace because they didn't deserve it, God provided grace for Jonah even though he didn't deserve it by providing this plant that would give him shade. And Jonah was pleased. So we see God questions Jonah and God provides for Jonah. The final thing I want you to see is that God teaches Jonah. Let's read verses 10 and 11 again. It says, "So the Lord said, 'You cared about the plant which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in the night and perished in the night. But may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals?'" So the plant that God provided for Jonah, it was an act of grace, but it was also an object lesson for Jonah. Because with this plant, God revealed to Jonah that while Jonah's heart was for a plant, God's heart was for a people. Jonah didn't want to see a plant destroyed, but God didn't want to see a people destroyed. God's desire was for Nineveh to hear of their sins, that they might repent of their sins, that they might be rescued. Jonah's heart was for a plant. God's heart was for a people. You know, as we think about the book of Jonah, it's kind of a sad end for Jonah, because Jonah's final words in this book are words of anger. But Jonah doesn't get the final word. What we see is that the final words in the book come from God, and God's final words are words of grace and compassion. I want you to hear me this morning. God gets the final word. You and I don't get the final word. This world doesn't get the final word. Satan doesn't get the final word. God gets the final word. I'm so glad that what we see with Nineveh, what we see happen in Nineveh, it was not based on what Jonah desired. If it was up to Jonah, Jonah would not have shown grace. Jonah would not have shown compassion. Jonah would have said, "Let fire rain down from above. Let Nineveh be destroyed." But it wasn't up to Jonah. Jonah didn't get the final word. God got the final word. And the good news is that while Jonah's heart was for a plant, God's heart was for a people. And I want you to hear me this morning. Just as God's heart was for Nineveh, God's heart is also for you. God's desire is that you would recognize the sin that's in your life, that you would recognize the destruction, the consequences of your sins, that you might turn to Him, that you also might be rescued. God's heart is for you. And if you've never received God's grace and compassion through Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And if you would hear the Lord's call, let me say it again. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. Would you respond to the Lord obediently this morning? So in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, this song is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, I've never given my life to Christ, I've never received that grace and compassion through Jesus Christ, but today I recognize the sin in my life and I'm ready to be forgiven. I'm ready to be set free. I'm ready to receive that grace and compassion. If that's you, I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be the day that you receive that grace and compassion that you don't deserve, but it's given freely to you because of Jesus. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but you know, as I look at my life and as we've looked at Jonah, I recognize there are areas of my life where I am just resisting God. I am not walking in obedience. And I need to repent of that and begin walking in obedience to the Lord. Listen, you can deal with God right where you're at, but if you need someone to pray with you, I'd love to do that. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. We baptized one in the first service. We've got baptism scheduled for next week. I'd love to get your baptism on the schedule as well. If you've given your life to Christ and you've never taken that step to be baptized, respond this morning. Let's make that commitment together today. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to get involved in the mission. If God's calling you to be a member of this church body, then I would encourage you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do this morning, obedience is always better than resistance. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you and have a great week.